Well, good evening. Good to have y'all here tonight. It is a blessing. Am I on? All right, I'm on. Blessing to have you here tonight. I want to open in prayer, and then really there's no introductions needed. Is there anybody in the room that does not know Fallon? Okay, well, I'll introduce her anyway. How about that? Well, let's start with prayer, and then we'll call Fallon forward. How about that? Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, you are faithful, and we love you, Father. We love you for what you accomplish, for what you continue to accomplish. What you accomplish through your Son, and what you continue to accomplish through each one of us. And Father, I thank you that you sent Fallon to Africa and you accomplished some amazing things. And it's not for humans to boast in. It's not for Fallon's credit. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ, because you are the one, Father, that is at work in us, both willing to do of your good pleasure. And so, Father, as we hear the report tonight, I do pray that we would give honor where honor is due, that we would appreciate the work that you do and appreciate our sister, Father, your daughter, who is faithful to be used by you as you send her. So I thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Fallon, please come forward.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Am I? Well, good evening, and I just want to begin by starting by saying thank you all so much for allowing me to get married before I gave this mission report. Radley is my first ministry, so I was really thankful to focus on that. But, you know, it's very interesting as I observe many mission reports, something that God has really laid on my heart is just the importance of sharing a verse or some word of encouragement or maybe even just a reminder. Because ultimately what he reveals to us is not for us to be selfish and keep to ourselves, but to tell others so we keep edifying one another. And as we know, most missionary reports are this massive praise party boasting upon the Lord. And I mean, I don't know how, or as I read 2 Corinthians and Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 10 about boasting, I find the more and more I see that boasting upon the Lord is such a mature thing to do. And I don't know how we really can't boast upon in the Lord when we step aside and we watch him do these great and awesome things. And I don't know how we can't be in awe over his great majesty. So, well, the Bible verse that I want to share with you all that's just been on my heart is Matthew 4:19. It says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." As many of you guys saw the email that I sent out, this trip was a trip of bringing many lost souls into his kingdom. So, but I found it very intriguing as I was on my way back from Africa to the U.S., how God kept putting that verse in my heart. And it just, I kept thinking to myself, and he was just placing on my heart, every true follower, every disciple, every student of the Word of God is a fisher of men. Rather you're out there on the front lines like Billy Graham or Franklin Graham, or you're doing street evangelism, or you're behind the scenes serving other people, or you're picking up missionaries and hosting them at your house so they can go out there and do that, or you're pouring the pastor coffee so he can equip the saints to get out there and win souls. We're all soul winners. And I found myself just so amazed by the simplicity of the reminder of that's why we come and we wake up and we put our armor on and why we serve others so we can further the kingdom, you know, and ultimately, so we're here to be soul winners and then disciple them. And of course, the root of it all is in love. So I pray to God that this presentation will encourage all of you, that you will see not only just what I did, but all of you. You know, I might have been the mouthpiece. He sent me to Africa, but ultimately all of y'all were involved, rather financially or prayer. And y'all's prayers were so just, I loved them all and I needed all of them. So as I was thinking to myself, well, how am I going to get this started, right? And I thought, well, I better start with this little booger right here. This little guy's name is Neil. And I tell you what, you know, I really don't think if you love the Lord and you know, you have an intimate relationship with him, I don't think there's a dumb prayer. So I was on my way from Europe to Africa. And I was like, Lord, I really pray to bond with some animal. And so I'm thinking maybe a zebra, giraffe, I'm going to Africa, you know. Well, Dan and Pat Hill picked me up and they're like, they drive me from the airport to the mission compound, is about 45 minutes away. And they're like, oh, by the way, we got a little kitten. He's going to help kill any cockroaches. Uh-oh. We'll see. Okay. Are we good? Does it look backwards? It's all like out here. So, he's going to help kill any rats or cockroaches. And I nearly got on the seat and kissed him. I was like, yes, can he sleep with me? They're like, of course, because I'm miles away from my cat, who's a believer and evangelist. And my fiance at the time, who I miss so much. And so it was so cool how he just answered that prayer. I was able to bond with him. And by the way, as you all know, I love cockroaches. No, I don't. I didn't see any cockroaches, but like one of those, and it wasn't even at the mission compound. It was a blessing being with Americans because they spray the house and everything. So, and I had a big can of Raid, so I spray my bed every time. But so that night when I got there, as you all know, they put me on a big grocery list. And there was a gracious believer that's anonymous that my mom and I went with, and they bought more than duplicates of the stuff that they asked. So I came with 7 suitcases to Africa, and they all got there, praise God. And it was so fascinating when I got there with Dan and Pat. I guess I have a small ear.
She has the tiniest little ears compared to who normally wears this. All right, how's that? Better?
Yeah. Okay. So, yes. So as I was talking with Dan and Pat, no, that's what I was saying. So I was with Dan and Pat, and that evening I got there. It was so cool to see such God-fearing, just gracious believer who loved the Lord, who'd been in the ministry for 41 years, just these mature believers, just loving God. And they were unzipping the suitcases and finding all this stuff on that grocery list. And they were like kids on the Christmas tree opening presents on the Christmas day. They were so excited to receive stuff that we as Americans might take for granted, like Ritz crackers. Ritz crackers are like, what, $4 here? They're $10.50 over in Africa. And then guess what? You know how this is a $2.50 here? It's like $10.50 over there. Because they have a very few general stores over there, and because it's so poor, what they have, they charge so much for it. So the things we take for granted, they're so appreciative what they can get. And so that was pretty neat to just see them so graced out by all these gifts and granola bars and so forth. So that night, I didn't sleep but an hour, but that's okay. So filled with the Spirit, excited for the next day. I don't have a slide for the next day, but that's okay. So the next day was Saturday, and we had a big VBS. And I met a God-fearing, just loving couple who loves the Lord, and Musu and Alfredo, or Alfred. And he is a great Bible teacher or storyteller of the Bible, and he works with many pastors and, equipping them. And his wife has such a passion for the children. And so she told Pat, hey, Pat, let's have a VBS. Let's get kids together. Let's round them up. And she says, okay. So Musu went door to door to door to door, just trying to get all the kids that she could. So we didn't know what to expect, how many kids would show up. So we go to this beaten down kind of house, and granted that there's hardly any electricity. No one has electricity, AC. It's just they've got beaten down houses with not really any windows, so it's real poor over there. So we show up to this, like, two-story house, and, real beaten down. And so these kids, we walk upstairs, and I was so grateful because they wanted to be outside at first, and I'm already down in sweat, 94 humidity. So, but we go upstairs, and there's this group of kids. There's about 100 of them. And I started teaching a Bible lesson, or a Bible verse. And as I teach, more kids just kept coming in and kept coming in and kept coming in. So it was so crazy that we had to split the kids up into twos. We got the older kids. I took the older kids, and they took the younger ones outside as I taught a Bible story using CEF curriculum. And when we do Bible stories for CEF, we weave the gospel in it throughout the whole thing. So then at the end of the Bible lesson, we give an invitation for whoever wants to believe in Jesus as their Savior. And so after I taught the Bible lesson and gave the invitation, so many children wanted to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And y'all, it was so powerful. As I was leading them in prayer, of course, prayer is not what saves them. The Bible says that you believe, that's what saves you. I was just trembling in his presence, feeling the power just going out. And I was like, wow, all these kids are just believing on him. It was so precious. And so after that took place, of course, I gave assurance. And, you know, we always give tools to children how to grow, get closer to God. Well, I found myself having to be careful because in the U.S. I'll say, do you have a Bible? And most kids do. And if not, I'll give them a Bible. I couldn't go over there and give them a Bible. You know, I could hardly pack so much clothes almost. You know, it's like, and then secondly, the kids don't know how to read. And so I have to be real careful. So I just have to tell them to go to church, you know, and pray to God that they get to church. So after those group of kids were done, I brought in the younger ones. And the younger ones are a little more rambunctious, but, you know, you could really see the older ones in that group, the Spirit working in their hearts, ready to receive Christ as their Savior. So after numerous came into the Lord's kingdom, we had lunch. And now lunch is the same menu in Liberia. A bowl of rice and chicken and what I like to say looks like swamp on top of it. Or like spinach goo. But I said, no, thank you. I don't know, for some reason, I'm like, I'm getting married and food didn't look good. So, But you know what? Something that was so interesting that I noticed was the older kids were taking under their wings the younger kids. You know, they were making sure that if they need to go to the bathroom, their shoes are on, feeding them. They were just like mothers to them. And, you know, we see that sometimes here, but it's all over in Liberia. And it's because the parents are always home and they can't be with their kids. They got to make money. There's such a poor place the way they can. So, and it was so interesting because they pile your food up. They just put so much in this bowl. And I'm like, why do they give you so much? And they said, because this might be the only food they get today or days. And I was like, wow, you know. And here we are, older kids, making sure their young siblings get food. And that just really touched me. So, after that, the next day was Sunday. And Pat says, well, this could be your only day off for next Sunday. And I was like, oh, would that matter either way? So he goes, how about you teach Sunday school at the church we go to? And I said, yeah, I'd be super pumped to do it. So here is there's the Sunday school, the church that they go to. I went in there and taught the kids. Now, the kids were a lot more disciplined. You could tell, like, the teachers really work with their kids and discipline them and don't let them get away with things they shouldn't, because those you love, you discipline. But the fascinating thing about it is, if you know, when I teach kids, I get really animated, and, you know, because the Word of God's alive and powerful, and I want it to come alive to them. And, you know, I just have fun with kids and goof off. And, but, you know, here I am smiling, Jesus loves you, and there's kind of like, should we smile? And they're kind of like, kind of stone cold, and I'm just like, I want to go tickle them. Like, what are you doing? This is Jesus. you know, what I realize, and you see it on the adults, is you see on their, just the devastation on their face from the Civil War. You know, they actually were a pretty rich country until the Civil War took place, and it just ruined everything. And so you see just that devastation, the poverty on the faces of these kids and the adults. In fact, most kids, you know what they're doing? They're out there on the streets selling popcorn or chips so they can give their parents food so they can pay rent. You know, they can make a living. And guess what the kids are playing with? Not DSs or Nintendo 64s. I saw a kid playing with a stick and a rock. So, and so you really see that on the faces of the kids, just the poorness there. So there I am teaching again. I know it's kind of hard for you to see this, but this right here, the Liberians, it's a little a sweat cloth or whatever. They feel so bad for me. Because I felt like I walked into the Atlantic Ocean and started talking. But, you know, and I'm sitting there looking at the Liberians, like, I'm just like, wow, you guys are, they're like, hey, what's up? I'm just dying in sweat. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I didn't care if I had one strand of hair as long as Jesus is proclaimed. And so that was fun. So the next day, I was asked to go teach these group of kids that Pat, who's in the center right there, Pat Hills, who I stayed with, and her husband Dan, she helps these three ladies over here run a school and kind of have a, you know, get the school up and running. And she used to be an English teacher, so she has a lot of administrative skills. And so she's just trying to help them get on their feet and be organized as a school. And so they asked me to come teach. And I said, yeah, I'd be delighted to go teach and just give the gospel and get any child saved who needs to know and give them assurance. So there I am with the first class. I broke up with the older ones. And this is where the first time I saw a kid just go outside and go to the bathroom, I was like, whoa. And then I started seeing that all over with adults. There's no plumbing in America, or not America, but in Africa. So that was interesting. But it was neat. I talked to Zacchaeus and then just gave the gospel, and God just worked miracles. I don't know the numbers each time, but I don't need to know. You know, it's just beautiful to see him bring them in. What was interesting about this was, these were the younger ones. As I was teaching the Bible story with these kids, I almost looked like a fear in their face as I was talking to them. And I was like, what's going on with that? And so I was talking to Pat, and just sometimes there's a concern, like some of the Liberians might be a little hard on their kids. You know, that's a sin. God doesn't like that. And kind of hard on them. So it kind of puts fear in the hearts of the kids instead of, you know, expressing Jesus loves you. And so those are just prayer items. Sometimes Liberians can be a little rough on the kids, but that's the only place I really saw that. So later on that day was really neat. I met some different people, and then I met people who work for CEF, Lead and his wife Becky. And if you work in CEF, then you know when you meet another CEFer. You just see the joy and the love of the kids on their face just shine. And so it was breathtaking to meet these people. They are so godly. They've adopted 100 kids, and they school them, clothe them, feed them, tell them about Jesus, and put them in the ministry. And so I prayed with them. I think I prayed with everybody. I was like, hey, let's pray. You never know anybody better than when you get to pray with them. And then they asked me, I was so honored. They said, next week there's King James having a 400-year anniversary. Will you come and help us present, talk about CEF and promote it, and then do the Wordless Book presentation? I said, wow, I'd be honored to. And so I'll talk a little more about that later. So that was real neat. And just a great experience. So the next day, I was asked to go to this LY Academy, this Christian school, and talk to all these kids. Go from class to class to class, giving the gospel, giving assurance, and just answering any questions, telling them how to grow in Christ. So I said, yeah, let's do it. So I was started off with a first grader. And so I went in there and I did a Bible story, gave the gospel, gave assurance, because if you know me, nothing burns in my heart more than to make sure these people know that they are going to spend all eternity with God because they believe. That's so important to me. So after I did that, I went, took a sip of water, went to the next class and did that, you know, wipe my sweat off and go to the next one and then to the next one. And it was so amazing just to see God strengthen me as I kept doing that. You'd think I'd be tired, but I felt like the Energizer Bunny just keep going. It was like I was on cloud nine. It was so beautiful to see God's work in these kids and them just coming to Christ. But another thing that was really rewarding, and let me show you one picture of the classroom. It's all fuzzy. It's the only one I really have. And there's about 30 to 40 to 50 kids in each class. So... but what was really rewarding was to see one of the parents, some of the teachers, just shake their head like, yeah, in agreement. Like, you know, even hearing as the gospel was presented, you could see that it was impacting them, that they were almost like they were encouraged and maybe encouraged to, or maybe it gave them insight on how they can present it clearer too. And one of the teachers, I was teaching on Abraham and Isaac and how, you know, the lesson was how we need to obey God even when it's hard. And she says, after I taught that, she says, that's a tough one. I said, yeah, but God's faithful and he'll give us that strength. She said, yeah. And so it was rewarding to not only see these kids come into his kingdom, but to see these teachers impacted. That was beautiful. It really was. So it was so breathtaking because every time I would leave this school, I'd walk back home to the mission compound. It was like under a mile because Dan was busy just doing stuff with like pastors, and Pat was at that school we saw a minute ago helping them, you know, get situated. So my view was the Atlantic Ocean. And in fact, actually, Dan and Pat's view, you walk outside in their front yards of the Atlantic Ocean. I said, you know what? I can take the hot. I can take the humidity and the mosquitoes that could be malaria. And listen, this is great. And so it was, you know what? It couldn't have been better. Just seeing what God was doing with these kids, bringing them into the kingdom, and then going to see this breathtaking of a view. It was so beautiful. Our God is so awesome, you know. So that evening, or after I got home, I was able to refresh and have some prayer. And then 3 hours later, we went to a Bible club. And a godly man, Tom and his wife, I can't recall it, they opened their home up and they wanted to invite kids in the neighborhood. And they said, come give them the gospel, lead them to Christ, talk about Jesus, sing with them. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So as you see, this is like a picture of what they're outside of their home. And this right here is like the stone of, it's what the inside of each house looks like in Africa. It's just, there's no decoration. It's just that color. And obviously there's no washers or dryers, so they have to pull water out of a well and wash their clothes there and, you know, hang it up on that. And some of them just put it on the grass. One lady got her clothes ran over. I felt bad for her. So that's how they live. Now, this was inside of it. Some of the pictures are a little fuzzy or kind of hard to see, but that was me. And it was so much fun just talking about Jesus with these kids and bringing them into the kingdom and then teaching them how to pray. You know, I was like, you know what, let's have a prayer meeting, because I taught them how to pray, you know, dear God in Jesus' name. And so I wanted all of them to just do a thank you prayer to God, you know, be grateful. And so that was so much fun. I always love praying with little kids. It just melts your heart. And this is interesting. You can't really see this, which is probably good, but I just had to express this. It was so interesting because this lady was just openly breastfeeding in there. And I was like, what is she doing? And then I was like, well, I'm surprised the guys are, you know, sometimes in the culture of U.S., we're just too many, you know how we are over here, too much promiscuity and ruining things before marriage over here. And, but it, over in that culture, it's just like, it's no big deal. And, I was asking Pat, I was like, what are the most sin struggles over there? What do you find that they struggle with the most? There's no homosexuality over there. That's not really a problem for them over there. But she was saying it's more the problem with the teens and the promiscuity. And they just, because they get these emotions and desires and their parents don't tell them about anything. So what do? You know, they do what they think they should do when they really shouldn't. And so it made sense, because as I kept going throughout the week, I'd see posters, HIV is here, use condoms, which is not the best thing, but, you know, it shows you there's a need for teens to be taught on purity. And I know my husband has such a passion for teens, and I'd love for him to be able to do something like that if the Lord brings us back over there. But anyways, I just thought that was interesting how a woman can just do that and people aren't freaking out, and you know, and so it's just a different way of living. Well, the next day I went back to the LY Academy and I did three classes back to back to back. And just, again, it was just so amazing to see him just keep bringing them in and everything. Well, after I went home, I had another afternoon club, club time, where this lady right here, you can hardly see, but her name is Weeder. And she opened up her home. She has such a big heart for children. She's a school teacher, and she loves Jesus. And this lady, Matilda, she works for the Samaritan Purse. All you guys are familiar with that, Billy Graham's ordeal. And so she's awesome. She's real joyful and cheerful, and she had some good songs that she was singing and everything. And if I could sing, I'd bless y'all, but I'd probably curse you if I did. We'd be like, amen, and go home. So she sang, got the crowd, you know, get the wiggles out and everything. And then I started teaching, but it was very interesting. I think Pat did a really wonderful job as I was teaching. She took some pictures of these kids, and I think she did a wonderful job with them. You could really see just the wears and the tears of being poor on the faces of these kids. She just did a real outstanding job. It's kind of blurry, but it looks better. But just amazing. These kids go through so much. And when you don't have things easy, when life's not easy, you grow up quicker. And so you see that with all these kids in Africa. Well, after I finished teaching and we taught on prayer and everything, and just after however he brought into his kingdom, we lined up each kid, and they had taken their flip-flops off, like around under there. You see her kind of getting her kid to the shoes. And this is where I tried so hard not to cry. And I was just seeing their little dirty hands and their clothes with just holes in it. And it was so hard, and all I could do was just give them one piece of candy. And I was like, oh, Lord. And some of them would smile and say, thank you, so thankful for that one little candy. And, you know, some kids are just kind of didn't know what was going on. But, yeah, that was real hard. We are so blessed in the U.S. I mean, we are so fortunate. I mean, go on an airplane. If you know, you want to feed a kid from Africa, put them on an airplane. Do you know how many times they feed you? I say no. Well, but yeah. So yeah, that was very eye-opening after that. So the next day, I went back to Elwha, and I had four schools. And they were the seventh graders. And it was really interesting. As I kept giving the gospel to these people, God kept driving home, approach, you know, the assurance of salvation even harder and just in different realms because they're seventh graders. And so I was like, so if you die, you're about to die, are you going to be afraid? And they're like, no. I'm like, how do you know? And I pulled my Bible up because you believe, you know. And you could just see the excitement in these kids, the assurance. They were just kind of like relieved that they're a believer. I said, if you're going to leave Liberia, does that mean you're not a child of God anymore? They're like, no, I'm a believer. How do you know? Because God's word. And it was really neat to see how God just kept making me drive it home even harder with the older ones. You know, maybe that was just, you could tell that it was just needed. So that evening was really a special evening. I had a two-hour evangelism class with a group of ladies, six of them. And I was, it was really neat. I got to talk for an hour on personal evangelism, the importance of why we don't have to be afraid because we're overcomers and he that is in us is greater than he that's in this world. And also just talking on, slipping my mind for a second. But so I was talking about how we don't have to be fearful. And yes, and how we don't need to force God on other people. You know, we're just here to love people and people. We all have our own volition and just the importance of sowing evangelism so we can reap it as well. And it was so powerful. After I did that, I'm sorry, I had to back up. And then I taught the Wordless book a little bit, a little presentation. Not a full presentation I would for CEF, but I did teach on that. And it was so powerful to see the testimonies of these women. The woman right there, she was the leader. And she says, y'all, ladies, I mean, strong woman. She's like, I don't want y'all to just hear what you heard, but I want you to go out there and be doers of the word of God. Now, and then she says, now I want you to express what it is that you all got from this class. And why? It was so beautiful. There, one of the ladies said, "You taught me that I don't have to be afraid anymore in evangelism." She says, "You taught me as you told with God said with Moses, I made your mouth. I will give you the words to speak." She says, "Finally, I'm going to get out of the way and let God work now." And I was like, "Wow." And then another lady says, "You know, you taught me that we're not here to force Jesus on anyone, but to love him." She says, there's this Jehovah's Witness that keeps coming over. I said, you got Jehovah's Witnesses over there? What are they doing over there? Goodness gracious, Satan's everywhere, huh? So she said, but you taught me that I just need to love them. And if they don't want to hear about Jesus, just pray for them because they're not ready. And I was just like, wow. And there were so many other things that they had said. It just, as Mary said, she treasures those things from the Lord in her heart. I really treasure those things that they had said. It was a really powerful time. Well, the next day, we had been asked to go to another school and keep doing the same things, giving the gospel, teach the Bible lesson, tell them about Jesus, tell them how to be discipled. And so we broke it up, and Pat had the older ones, and I had the younger ones. There's a lot more younger ones. But we went over the same thing that we've been doing and leading them to Christ. And then after we did that, I taught the Wordless book with them. And then I wanted to make a Wordless book bracelet. But I said, okay, you got to listen because we can't do the bracelet unless you tell me what each color means, right? Because not only do I want these kids saved, I want them to be a little evangelist and get out there and reach the people for Christ. So I got the yellow bead. I'm like, what is the yellow one? They're like, what does the gold represent? They're like, streets of gold and Jesus loves us. I was like, all right, you can do this. So, and then we went on from each color. So I'd have the kids come up and talk with me or let me see their bracelet before we could give them a cookie because we made cookies. I was thankful we can make one cookie for each kid. And if their bracelet looked good and they can tell me it, they got a cookie. And they all did well. Well, later that day, after we left, we went into town and they showed me the city, the downtown city. And that's a little more money over there, a little more electricity and restaurants that are kind of American. We went into this one restaurant, I almost felt at home. I was like, whew, it's American, it's real clean, and just, and it was really helpful because I was starting to feel really sick. I picked up some bacteria over there. I don't know how, I didn't eat, so we went into town to this marketplace, and you know how we have shopping malls, right? But it's inside. Well, their marketplace is like outside, and you got shoe polishing and buy beads or whatever. It's all outside, and people are walking everywhere. And so I was looking for Lapa. This is called Lapa, the dress I'm wearing, the material. And so I, paid $15 for this. And so after I picked up the Lapa because I was having a lady make me a dress, we went back to the same place right here, and we had a two-hour evangelism class. Dan taught for 30 minutes, and then I taught on personal evangelism and then the Wordless book. And so that was really neat to see just adults just so excited and encouraged and equipped and ready to go out there. So that was pretty neat. Well, that evening we were we met with some people because we're going to have a VBS in the village the next day on Saturday. So I had to get up at 4:30 that morning. As I got up, y'all, it was so sad because I woke up, nails on my stomach, and I put him down on the ground. And he couldn't walk. His legs, he was so weak, and he just kept falling over. And I'm like, oh, no, Lord. I mean, Dan, Pat, and I, we pray every morning. Actually, when they have their second cup of coffee, we pray. And they're big coffee drinkers. Don't talk till then. No, I'm joking. But we were just in tears. I mean, we couldn't even really finish praying together. It was just, we were so sad. And then we had to leave this cat for 6 hours. So, but we had to go, and we left into this village, about 2.5 hour drive, and this was the sign of it. And so we get there, and the kids are like, hooray, and clapping, and just so overjoyed because no one ever comes to see them. No one sees them. And this is where the village where a kid cried at Dan and Pat because they were white. And the mother cracks up. She's like, oh, they've never seen anyone different color skin. And so I said, well, let me go see him. I'm brown. Maybe he will. Maybe it'll be okay. He still cried. I about put him in my pocket. He was so cute. I was like, you're going to learn to love me. No. So anyways, the interesting thing about that, and there's a picture of me with him, was we noticed, Dan, Pat, and I really noticed, is that they could say God, they'd say Jesus, the Lord, but when we broke them up into groups, we realized they didn't really understand why they needed Jesus. They didn't know why they needed Jesus, why they're even saying Jesus. It was just like a name, right? So after Dan, Pat, and I were done with them, they, for most of them, maybe not so much the younger ones, but they understood why they needed Jesus, why they needed a Savior. And they could tell us why they needed Him, and they confessed to believe in Him. So that was really awesome. And so then after we broke them up and talked to them, we did do the Wordless book with them just so that they can be little evangelists too afterwards. And so there's a picture of the people cooking. And it was like this big old black pot, like a witch. No, I'm just joking. I don't know why I could only think of that. Halloween. No, so, I mean, literally, it's like in a story tale. It's this big old black pot, and they're just stewing away and everything. And but it was neat because we were able to pay $100, so every kid was able to eat that day. And and here's some more pictures. If you can see, there's a little hut over there they can sleep in, and there's another house. And you see the clothes hanging. It's just that's all they got, you know. This lady was Melinda, who helped me with another club at Weeders and did all these cool songs. If I really wish I could do it, they're really jazzy. But and this lady, I was so grateful for her. You know, I never needed a translator. I was real slow, trying to be real slow for the kids. But in the villages, they're not as educated, they don't see Americans. So she was able, and she did great, real jazzed up and just real animated. I was like, yeah, real kinder spirit. No, but she helped translate for me. Now, this is blurry, and I couldn't believe this. I took 5 pictures of the Liberians juggling or holding stuff on their head. Or not, they don't even hold it. They just walk around with stuff on their head. Like, what's up, you know? I mean, they got, like, big bowls and little bowls in it, or they're carrying flowers, or I'm just like, how do they do that, you know? It's just awesome. But that's the only picture that came through. So, they do. They just walk around with stuff on their head. It's just awesome. They start when they're little, so. When we came home, Pat and I were like, because of little Neil. We were praying to God Neil wasn't dead, but we came home and Neil was still there and just so weak. And so we call a nurse on the mission compound and she Googles it. I mean, what would we do without Google? And my husband loves it. And so she Googles it and it was like a feline disease or something. And just, I mean, we're in trouble. We have no vaccination. There's not hardly any vets. And if so, it's an arm and a leg. And so she comes over and she says, if he makes it within 5 days, he'll live. So she gives us a syringe. And she says, and he was so dehydrated, he couldn't even drink. And so I just pry his mouth open every 30 to 45 minutes and just inject water in it. And, you know, that little cat didn't want any of us to leave, so I stayed with him. I prayed. I know we're not into healing, but I was reading the healing parts of in the Gospels, just praying for a miracle for this little booger. And it was neat because that evening we had teens come over, and it was real relaxing. They were talking about a retreat they were doing and watched a movie. So my next day was my only day off, so I said, you know what, I'll wake up every hour, and I'll put water into the little cat, you know, to inject it, so just to keep him dehydrated. Well, y'all, I kid you not, it's like God strengthened me throughout the whole night. I even wake up before my alarm was going to go off. And I wake up that next day for church. And I tell you what, he was walking, he was scratching and yawning. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is a miracle. I knew it. He's a missionary cat. I got to tell him, you're going to suffer hardship here, buddy. And it's a good soldier. So he made it. And it was just the power of prayer, and just it was beautiful. So we were all excited about that. So I went to church that day, and very different, without sleep. No, it was like an hour and a half of praise and worship, and but then 30 minutes of good teaching, really good teaching. I was as a guest speaker because the pastor, his daughter's dying, and the sad thing is so many people die in Africa. It's like. Like you go to a baseball game, you know what I mean? Watch TV, they just die because there's no good medical care. And that's something to pray about, is for more medical, you know, mission medics or whatever to go over there. So he had this guest speaker speak for him. And so it was pretty good. And then we had the military come over and we did play games and stuff. It was a real relaxing time. And the next day, I didn't have to teach, but we had a ladies' gathering with just other missionaries there that come, you know, just to support, not to support, but just other missionaries to come together and encourage each other. They're doing this book and this study. I can't recall the book of it, but it was a good just sharpening each other's sword time. I was able to contribute what I could and so forth. Well, the next day was a big day. It was a 3-hour seminar that I had for evangelism, and I was talking about a lot of angelic conflict that day. But I show up to this place, and my prayer that day was, I was like, Lord, if there's anybody who does not know you as their Savior, please bring them there. Please, God. And let them pass out of death into life. Y'all, God brought a Muslim lady there that day. And I broke them up into groups, and Pat was sitting right next to him. It was funny because there was other people sitting next to her, next to that lady, but they all left during the time of getting with a partner. And Pat was first was going to leave. And I was there, he was like, well, I'm going to leave. But so she was talking to her, and she realized that the lady couldn't tell her what the colors meant for the wordless book. She realized she needed to know who Jesus Christ is. So she says, do you want to believe in Christ as your Savior? She says, yeah. And so she got led to Christ that day. Isn't that awesome? That's such an answered prayer. So that was neat. That was worth all of it, you know. Not only training these people how to reach people for Christ, but another lady came into Christ, or to heaven, or another sister in Christ. Well, it was interesting because that day we had a lot of conflict and talk about. It was a 2.5-hour drive out to the village, and we had 1 hour full, just stuck. And I'm not exaggerating. We were stopped in traffic. And here I had to go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, I got to wait 8 hours. But Pat's like, you're not a true missionary until you pop a squat. And I'm like, I was like, all right, let's do it. And here I see this bug coming. I see this bug coming, and for some reason, I'm like, yeah, it's all good. So I get back into the car, buckle up, and I start screaming, I got bit. And but that was wonderful. I said, am I gonna die? Is everything cool? Like, it's just a black ant. And so it was okay. It was just something the adversary wanted to try to startle me before I taught, but it's all good. It worked out good. Muslim lady got saved. Praise God. So, well, the next day was, I don't have pictures for this, was the 400-year anniversary, King James anniversary. And there were 1,000 people, over 1,000 adults at this seminar. And I felt so sick, y'all. I wanted to throw up. Oh, I felt so bad. It was just that bacteria was getting to me. But I was sitting there just listening to all these people talk at the conference. I was like, Lord, we're going to do this. If I throw up, I'm going to put gum in and go. You know, because he sent me there. So we got to do it. Sometimes we're going to, you know, not feel good, but we'll just got to suffer through it. So finally they broke up and they had, events. What is it? They had workshop events. And so you got to present your ministry to different people who would want to come and see it. So we had about almost 200 adults at our little station. So they talked about CEF, how it's run, the materials. They did songs, and then I presented the wordless book for them. And it was so exciting to see adults get excited about how to get plugged into a ministry, how to reach the kids with CEF. It was so exciting to see that. And I was so honored to be a part of something like that to help CEF grow. It was fascinating. Well, the next day I went back and finished. It was Thursday, my last day of working. I went back to teach the kids two more classes. They were the little shrimps, the little ones. And so I think they were snickering at me like, I don't know what she's saying. And so I'm like, oh, well, Lord, I'm just going to speak and plant seeds. That's fine. But it didn't matter. I was so excited. I couldn't wait till after that was done. Or not after that was done, but I couldn't wait till the afternoon, because then is when we lastly got to see the orphans. And I had been reading in Timothy how, you know, we're to visit the widows. Remember the widows and visit them and remember the orphans. And I just couldn't wait to see them. And so there were 15 of the orphans. And they were in school. And there's a couple other kids that were in school with them. So we just taught them together under this tree. And there's Pat teaching Jesus loves me in sign language. And so when I start teaching, it was so interesting because here you see this right here, these kids here. But as I started teaching and started going into about Jesus, these kids just started walking up and started listening. And you could see on their faces God was pulling them. It was so powerful. And then when I asked if they wanted to believe, they wanted to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Here kids are just walking. We didn't even know. We didn't even design that. It was so awesome. So after that took place, we wanted to be with the kids, just the orphans, because we had something special for them. So we took them into their home, and this is what they live in, you guys. And behind me is a door with bunk beds, and I'll show you that in the next slide. And just all these bunk beds put together. There's this lady, Martha, right here, and I'll show you her in a second. She She's just wonderful. She has 15 orphan kids that she's brought in, kids that just dropped off on the street, kicked to the curb, and she's taken them in, her and her husband. And, I mean, really, this is like their living room, their everything. And so I taught them Zacchaeus, and then we did some fun stories with them. I mean, we did a fun project. We got these brown bags, and you put a sandwich in, and we got stickers to make all these faces, smiley faces and so forth. And then it was so good. I was so thankful that we had a lot of candy left over, so we just gave them a bucket's load of candy. And they were so happy over that. They were so excited. It was just so nice, just a blessing to do that. So these are their bunk beds. This is what the kids sleep in. So, and you see the walls and everything, and it's just amazing. This is where I saw the kid playing with a stick outside. This is Martha. Y'all, I can't wait to see her mansions in heaven. I really can't. And so there's the little kids and how they play. It turned out real cute, some of their smiley faces. And again, I was so thankful we got to just put buckets of candy in their bag. And there's Pat with me. There's Pat. Well, this lady is really special. She, her husband died 3 months ago. And, I mean, how many of us, when someone dies or something, we kind of break down and just kind of seclude ourselves? Well, this lady has 3 kids to raise. She's a school teacher, and she tries her best to keep a smile on their face for Jesus. She was one of the ladies at the missionary, or not the, she was one of the ladies at the first seminar I did on evangelism. And she said, you know what, Fallon, I'm going to open my home up, and I'm going to let all the kids come in, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And she says, and I'm going to go talk to the adults about Jesus too. And so she told Pat, she said, Pat, I know Jesus is real, because you and Dan and Fallon come from the U.S., where y'all are so prosperous. Y'all come all the way from the U.S., where y'all have so much, and you come and you walk in the dirty streets of Africa. I know that Jesus is real. And that just touched my heart so bad that she said that. And she says, Pat, please, before Fallon leaves, take her to my house. I want her to come over. And I said, I asked Pat, is her house real nice? She said, no. And so I came over to her house the night before I left, and I come in there, and there's one little chair in her living room. And she was so happy I was there. She said, Fallon, you sit right here on this chair, please. I mean, she was so happy to give the little that she had to me. I mean, it was so beautiful to see that. Someone so poor yet gives what she can. She's so rich in Christ. It's so beautiful. And so she, of course, has invited me to come back, and many others have, and I said, not without my husband. So lastly, we went to a restaurant that night. It was Saj. I think it was Greek. It wasn't too bad. I couldn't eat too much, so. And then lastly, this is the lady who made my dress, and her name is Roger, and her husband Samuel, and he's a pastor teacher. And So, as I close, in closing, I'd like to share with you guys a story that really touched my heart. There was this lady in the village who, in the village where we came, and they're like, yay, and clapping because we showed up. Well, as I was leaving, she says, hey, Fallon, can I write my name down for you? Can I give you my number? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Do you want mine too? And she says, yeah. I said, hey, do you think you'll ever be in the U.S.? And she, it's like, I knew she wasn't, you know, most Africans haven't even seen the airport. But you know what? I was looking at her as she was writing her name down on this piece of paper. And she was so happy as she was writing her name down on this piece of paper. She was so happy that I knew her name. And, you know, it reminded me of that time with Jesus and the disciples when he sent out his disciples and they came back and they said, Jesus, look, we cast out this demon and we healed this miracle and we did this. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And it made me think, wow, my name is written in heaven. And not only mine, but everyone who believes in him. It is such an honor, however God uses us. It's just such an honor he would even use us. You know, and I think sometimes we think the people that are missionaries and pastors or whatever are the front lines And the people who are serving behind the scenes are just on the back burner, but really the people out there preaching his name are just a name written in heaven like all of us. He is the true celebrity of the universe, and when he chooses to use us, that's so awesome. I just thank you all so much for allowing me to go on this trip. It's been so humbling to just see all these people and just how poor they are, but some of them are so rich in Jesus. We have so much. And so I love all of y'all, and I pray God will send me and Radley on more trips, and especially back to Liberia if he wills it. So I guess since we're over time, we can take questions during the social, and maybe I'd love my husband to pray for us, if that's okay.
Lord, thank you so much for this presentation. I pray this just touches our hearts so much, Lord. Remind us that this is so important, that nothing in our life, Lord, none of the little details matter compared to people coming to know you, growing, becoming your servants. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everybody's participation in this. And remind us, Lord, just as Fallon said, just as you spoke through it, that all of us are to be fishers of men, to make disciples of the world, Lord. That we're to go out and do this in whatever way that means, financially, in prayer, by serving. Lord, this is so beautiful. All these people that came to know you and the beautiful heart they have. Fallon just showed us some of the richest people in the world. And Lord, I pray we imitate that. That we would remember that our treasure is in heaven and not here. And that we would desire to be like that, Lord. Desire to just fall in love with you. Oh, Lord, just these humble people that love you. That want Fallon just to sit in one chair that's in the living room. Just consider it an honor. Let us remember that. Let us live that. And Lord, let this message be something that stimulates us to good deeds. Showing us how we can do better in this area. We are so prosperous, so blessed, so spoiled. So God, use this. We don't have an excuse to sit here with the doctrine, the word of God that we have by such a great pastor in this church and not use it. So Lord, motivate us, exhort us, show us how we can be more Christ-like every day. Pray this. Amen.